A scuba diver in a wetsuit swims underwater. Passing over a shallow reef, the diver moves purposefully through the water. When the diver startles a fish on the bottom, it races away. The diver swims toward the wreckage of a steel-hulled ship. The wreck lies flat on the bottom, listing to port, and the diver swims over it toward the stern. Coming upon an open hatchway, the diver swims into the darkness below the deck. The diver probes the close confines with a flashlight, searching the wreck's interior. As he enters a cargo hold, he moves past underwater welding equipment to a bulkhead, which he examines closely. A shark lurks nearby. In the hold, the diver turns away from the bulkhead and swims back to where he entered the wreck. Emerging from the hatchway, he leaves the wreck. After crossing the wreck, he examines the bow. The shark approaches, but the diver doesn't see it. Seeing the shark, the diver swims off hurriedly. But when the creature pursues him, he turns to face it defensively. But the diver's nerve cracks, and he lunges away in fear as the shark homes in on him. The shark attacks the diver with razor teeth, and the two thrash in the water, a jumble of arms, legs, and flashing fins. The shark rips into the diver's flesh, and a cloud of blood stains the water. Later, a muezzin stands atop a minaret, calling the faithful to prayer in a small Sudanese port town. In a tent nearby,
Mohammed was a very good boy.
A woman speaks to an older matron.
I warned him never to dive alone. Please, take this.
She presses a wad of bills into the older woman's hand.
We owe this money to your son. He was always nice to me, and I was very fond of him.
The older woman licks her thumb, then begins counting the banknotes as others look on. The young woman gets up to leave. When two men block her path, she hesitates for an instant, then pushes past them and steps outside. Later, in the town, the young woman meets with an older man.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks. What are we going to do about a replacement for Hammett?
Not here in Suabar. You know how superstitious these people are.
Now, let's not provoke each other with any more discussions about Mohammed, the muscular beach boy. We're so close now, let's worry about a replacement. It'll have to be an outsider. Someone who needs us as much as we need him.
Meanwhile, a handsome young man bounces along a dirt road behind the wheel of a battered pickup truck. Arriving at a roadblock, he stops the truck in a cloud of dust. As a policeman approaches, the young man gets out of the truck.
What's the matter?
Vas badirouk. Achouf, il a rabille.
Help yourself.
While the policeman walks to the rear of the truck to inspect its cargo, two more policemen step forward.
Hello.
As the policemen swarm over his truck, the young American reaches into the cab and produces a crowbar.
Meine positive. Want some help?
Hey, Atinek.
Hey, Katar Hedak.
The American looks on as one of the policemen pries open a wooden crate with the crowbar.
What a facet.
The crate lid is opened, revealing shovels and other tools. While a supervisor looks on from a jeep, the young man watches the policeman open another crate. The search ends.
Cut that hide.
Any damn. It's all right?
Hey, roof.
Yalla.
I can go then, huh?
With an insolent grin, the American jumps into the truck as the policemen remove the barricade.
Yalla. Stand and howling.
But the supervisor objects.
I am a shoot.
Help yourself.
Cut that hide.
As the police climb back aboard the truck, the American waits in the cab.
Cigarette?
The supervisor accepts. Meanwhile, the police search the crates thoroughly. Another crate is opened, revealing weapons and dynamite.
Askari!
The American hits the gas and the truck bolts forward, scattering the policemen. The policemen give chase in their jeep. The American pulls out a stick of dynamite and lights it with his cigarette. He tosses the dynamite out of the truck. The police jeep veers off the road and crashes into a pile of rocks. Speeding away, the American grins as he looks back at the hapless police. But when he tries to slow down, nothing happens. The brakes are shot. Picking up speed, the truck careens down a steep road. The American jumps out of the truck and tumbles head over heels down a steep bank of gravel and stones. The truck plunges off a cliff. Shark, starring Burt Reynolds, Arthur Kennedy, Barry Sullivan. The American gets to his feet and spots the mangled wreckage at the bottom of the cliff. Sylvia Pinal, with Francesco Regura, Enrique Lucera, and introducing Carlos Barry as Runt. Screenplay by Samuel Fuller and John Kingsbridge. Based on the novel, His Bones Are Coral by Victor Canning. Later, walking along a rough road, the American trips and falls. Director of photography, Raul Martinez Solares. Director of second unit photography in the Sudan, Saeed Karen. Music, Rafael Moroyogi. The American trudges on. Produced by Skip Stella and Mark Cooper. In association with Jose Luis Calderon. In charge of production, Norman Baer. Assistant to the producers and post-production supervisor, Herbert L. Straw. This film is dedicated to the fearless stuntmen who repeatedly risked their lives against attacks in shark-infested waters during the filming of this picture. Directed by Samuel Fuller. Sitting beside the rocky road, the American removes his battered boots. When he hears a vehicle approaching, he walks to the middle of the road to flag it down. A beat-up pickup truck pulls to a stop beside him. The driver, an old Sudanese man, tells him to climb into the back of the truck. At night, the battered truck pulls into the port town past a watchful policeman. As the truck stops, its radiator boils over and the driver gets out.
Americani. Effendim. Effendim.
Go away.
Ling, 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 ling. End of line, Effendim.
Where are we?
El Suabar.
Where?
El Suabar, on the Red Sea. You want hotel?
Yeah, you go get me. Go get me a hotel. Go get me a bed, huh? Give me a bed.
Come on, please.
Go away.
As the American goes back to sleep, the old man shuffles a short distance away. Then looks at his passenger.
Come, please.
The American jumps out of the back and follows the old man under the vigilant gaze of the policeman.
Come.
They enter a squalid hotel.
Best hotel in town?
The only and the best. La Palace.
The old man tries to wake the grossly overweight innkeeper.
La Tala. La Tala. What's... There's a man up there. I guess.
La Tala awakens the two women who are in bed with him, then gets up. The American waits for him, his head down on the filthy front desk.
Where did you pick him up? Where's your luggage?
I don't have any luggage, fatso.
The American plunks down some coins.
I want a room for the night.
La Tala grabs the coins. Then, with a sneer of contempt, passes the register to the American, along with a pen and an inkwell.
Sign, police form.
Okay, fatso.
The American signs the form.
Kane, take your rich friend up to his room. Come on.
The old truck driver escorts Kane, the American, up a filthy staircase.
What's your name, pal?
Joseph.
Joseph, okay. Night, Joseph.
Good night, Effendi.
In the morning, the sounds of the marketplace in the street below awaken Cain. Warily, he gets out of bed and hobbles into the bathroom. Half awake, Kane stuffs a hard-boiled egg into his mouth.
Come here, Joseph.
Joseph, very smart. Head, hard like egg.
Joseph holds up a mirror so that Kane can see himself shave.
Joseph, let me ask you something. Is that truck outside, is that yours?
No, Effendi. Possessed by Monsieur Latala. She's very rich. On the Swabar Hotel. A true capitalist.
Yeah, I think so. Well, how far is it to Port Sudan?
By auto, 2 days. By camel, 1 month. By foot, never.
Kane is puzzled that Joseph's straight razor is not removing his beard.
Joseph, let me ask you something. How long has this razor been in your family, huh?
Joseph, in my family, since the Mahdi killed Chinese Gordon at Khartoum with a sword 82 years ago.
Well, if they'd have used this razor on Chinese Gordon, history would have been changed.
Later, children play in the market beside the hotel as Kane walks on a veranda.
Mr. Kane, may I see you for a moment, please?
Kane walks toward the policeman, who sits at a table with a drunk.
I am Police Inspector Baroque. May I see your passport, please?
Oh, just on my way over to see you.
Everybody calls me Doc. Would you like to have a drink?
Yeah, I'd like a drink. It's on you.
Doc taps Baroque's chest.
Won't you sit down?
As they sit, Doc runs to the bar.
We always welcome American businessman, Mr. Kane.
That's nice. I've always had a good relationship with the Sudanese.
A personal question, please.
By the way.
Doc returns.
What brought you to this isolated pigsty?
Well, I'm sure if Fatso hasn't filled you in by now, I came this way.
Oh, you hitchhike. Fatso. That's a good name for La Tala, Fatso.
Baroque brushes Doc away.
Get some more drinks. From where did you hitchhike?
You know, cops sound the same all over the world.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment. From where did you hitchhike?
I caught a ride somewhere between here and Khartoum.
Were you warned about the many gunrunners supplying them with arms and explosives? Gunrunners who make what you Americans mean or say mincemeat out of any stranger.
Last time I heard the word gunrunner was in a movie.
The last time I saw the movie was a whole year ago.
I did run into some bandits I was going to tell you about.
What was the point of departure?
Port Sudan. You'll find my visa in the back of the passport.
Alexandria, being Egypt's soft neighbor to the south, they are showing increasing interest in our independence. Don't you think so?
I don't know. I don't know anything about politics. Isn't my line.
What is?
Business.
What kind?
I buy cheap and...
And sell for profit.
That's my Bible.
What was stolen from you, Mr. Kane?
$400 in traveler's checks, $185 in American money, $210 Sudanese, and they got all my clothes, of course. I kept my watch and some change I put in my shoe before they got...
I can't promise you the return of your stolen articles, but I'll try.
All right.
Good day, sir.
Good day.
Baroque returns Kane's passport and walks off. Baroque calls from his jeep.
Mr. Kane, I'm sure you know the story of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. That was a fairy tale, too.
Doc laughs drunkenly as Baroque drives off.
Mr. Kane, let's have another drink together again, huh?
You talk too much.
Kane walks away.
I didn't say anything.
Later, on a pier beside the Red Sea, Kane offers his watch to boatmen in exchange for a ride. But none are interested in the deal. A young boy smokes a cigar as he watches Kane. When Kane leaves the pier, the boy follows. Kane approaches a man beside a car.
How about you give me a ride out of town?
Nah.
How about I give you my watch?
Nah.
How about I give you my watch and take me out of town?
Nah. Hey, stay down.
The man signals two others who help him push the car away. Meanwhile, the boy watches Kane through a haze of cigar smoke. On the beach, Kane grabs two oars, puts them into a tiny, half-rotted boat, and shoves off. When he gets in, the boat sinks like a stone. Watching nearby, the boy laughs. Later, Kane approaches the marketplace, where all manner of fruits and vegetables are crammed into merchants' stalls. The boy walks behind him, unnoticed. The boy watches as Kane selects a pear, takes a bite, then discards the rest. Untying a filthy bandana from around his neck, Kane wipes his mouth with it, drops it to the ground, then selects a new one from a merchant's stall and puts it on. The boy grins at this, as the merchant, unaware of the theft, tries to sell Kane something else.
No, I don't wear earrings.
I
don't want to buy. You want to buy a watch, huh? Hey, pal, you want to buy a gold watch? Look here.
The boy grabs the watch out of Kane's hand and runs off. Kane gives chase, but the boy eludes him as the American blunders into every obstacle in his path. The boy sprints up a stone staircase with Kane not far behind. The boy vaults a wall, then pulls a knife and waits for Kane. Kane quickly disarms the boy, then dangles him upside down to shake the watch loose. With the watch recovered, he grips the boy by the hair.
Now, don't steal anything when anybody's looking. Understand? Commit?
Commit.
All right, beat it.
But the boy doesn't leave.
Runt.
Kane pulls out a pack of cigarettes.
Smoky, smoky.
That'll stunt your growth. Now, in order to make any money in your business, in order to be a good thief, you've got to be an artist. Now, I'll show you how to take a watch off a man when he's got it on.
When Kane checks his wrist, his watch is gone. He grins, but the boy doesn't give it back.
Give it back. Come on, give it back.
Reluctantly, the boy obeys.
Now, what I want you to do is, I want you to help me get a car, a boat, anything. Just to get away from here. Just get away.
You go away.
Well, I come back.
You come back?
Sure, I come back. We're partners.
Partners, shake.
Shake. All right.
Later, in the crowded market, Doc walks with Kane.
And this is the old quarter of town that goes back to the Bible. There's nothing much here for you but me. And I've got a prescription for what really ails you.
Why don't you get lost?
Oh, but this prescription's going to tell you how to get out of town. The word's out that you'll never leave Surabar on the Red Sea until Inspector Baroque lets you.
How's he going to stop you?
How's he going to stop you? Ho, ho, ho! Mavarib, Shuman Teleanahum, Shuman Teleanahum. Why shouldn't he stop you? Don't sell Baruch short. He was the smartest cop in Khartoum.
Doc whispers in Kane's ear, and the two men grin.
Which they couldn't prove. So he stuck here, too.
You stuck here? I mean, why don't you leave?
I'm not a gun runner or a dope peddler or a crook.
No, you know what you are?
What?
You're a drunk, that's what you are. You're a bad mouth.
What's the hell's the matter?
Listen, never fight a con artist. How many drinks did Baroque give you to set me up, huh? Huh?
Just a minute, Mr. Kane. Do you think I'm a paid informer?
You smell that way.
Johns Hopkins University, Harvard Medical School, Walter Reed Army Center, Medical Center. And I'm a doctor. I'm a physician. I'm a diagnostician.
I'm a sucker.
So long, doctor.
Sometime later, the labyrinth of alleys in the marketplace is still alive with buyers and sellers. Kane and Doc sit in a bar with a bottle.
What I can't figure out is what you're sticking your neck out for me for.
Because I love booze and I hate poor rock.
Kane withholds the bottle.
Earn your feet.
You're a mean man.
Yeah, I'm a mean man. Come on, earn your feet.
Well, there's one boat in the harbor the borough does not control. It's a big white boat. It's called the Anna.
Yeah, I know the boat. The key's missing and sleeps six.
Sleeps six? Maybe I ought to buy you a drink. So how about mine, huh?
What keeps Barack's hands off the Anna?
Foreign registration, American.
Seizing the bottle, Doc takes a swig.
What a wonderful world it would be if alcohol flowed through our veins.
Kane grabs the bottle.
Who owns the boat?
What boat?
What's the man? The boat. What's the man's name?
Professor Malaire. Professor Malaire owns the boat. And last month, his assistant died.
Yes, his assistant. What's that guy?
He's a handsome young Arab, built like an Adonis. He knew these waters like I know.
Will you get like to the I know point? Him. Will you get to the point?
The point?
About the assistant.
Oh, the assistant. The assistant's dead. The professor needs a new assistant.
A man named Kane.
In the market, The professor talks to the young woman.
Professor?
Roadbum, according to the Tala. He told me so.
Back at the bar.
Everybody warned the Arab to stay away from the professor, but he wouldn't listen. He was killed by a shark under suspicious circumstances.
In the market.
What about this man, Kane?
Forget him.
Why?
Don't trust him.
But you don't even know him.
Honey, some of my best friends are Americans. When a countryman of mine turns up here suddenly, in this hellhole, naturally I'm a little suspicious.
Why aren't you suspicious of the local Arabs?
I'm afraid you still don't understand our breed. Back in the States, skin diving has practically replaced baseball. First thing an American will want to do is dive with me. I can't take a chance on that.
At the bar.
She'll want to know why you want to work on a jinx boat. And you'd better come up with a good answer.
In the market.
You don't know anything about diesel engines. Neither do I. Maybe this Kane does. All Americans know about engines.
Well, this Kane fellow's probably college boy looking for a little excitement. Or a beatnik from Khartoum University looking for a little local color. Maybe he's not a beach boy type, huh?
I thought we were going to let Mohammed rest in peace.
No.
Or what's left of him.
I'm sorry. I'll talk to this fella, Kane.
Mm-mm.
Huh?
Not you. Not you, Dan.
Why?
Because he has heard all about you and the jinxed boat by now. That hotel breeds gossip. And a road bum avoids work. Especially when he hears the strangest stories about an eccentric professor who lost a deckhand very mysteriously to a shark.
What do you mean, very mysteriously?
All the people are talking about it in Suavar.
He grabs her arm roughly.
Do you believe it?
No.
At the bar.
We got a razor that's less than 50 years old. Why? Because I'm going to get that job even if I have to romance that broad.
Anna!
The professor and the woman are at the hotel.
I don't like it. I just don't like it at all.
Oh, Dan, it's got to be done.
Why?
And you have nothing to worry about, not even if I have to romance him just to hire him.
Later, at the seaside, clean-shaven, Kane idly tosses pebbles into the sea. He's joined by Anna, the woman, who sits down beside him.
Hello.
Hello.
You know, once in New York, when I was on the subway, in a completely empty car, a girl came along and planted herself right beside me.
I'm sorry to invade your privacy, but I usually come here to enjoy the view.
That's all right.
That girl in the subway, was she beautiful?
All women are beautiful. What's a girl like you
doing in a place,
doing in a place like this?
I am Anna Millar.
Kate.
She lights a cigarette, then places it between his lips.
Oh, that was out of habit.
You thirsty?
Are you buying?
I look that broke?
At the hotel, Atala mentioned you checked in without baggage.
Atala has a big mouth, like his belly.
Later, in a bar, the boy steps toward Kane and Anna, who are drinking. The boy signals Kane with a nod.
Have another drink?
Love to.
Picking up their glasses, Kane crosses the room toward the bar, where the bartender mixes two more drinks. Anna sits facing away from the bar. She doesn't see Kane barter his watch for the drinks. The boy smiles as he watches Kane haggling with the bartender over the value of the watch. Anna sneaks a discreet glance at the transaction. When the bartender counts out some coins, Kane walks away, but the bartender grabs him and counts out some more, and the watch is sold. The bartender tucks it away in his waistband. Returning to Anna with the drinks, Kane winks at the boy, who winks back and grins. Kane sits down beside Anna.
Never did keep very good time anyway.
I have enough for a couple of drinks.
Last time a lady bought me a drink, she was no lady.
Kane glances at the boy, who lunges at a Victrola. When the bartender tries to catch him, the boy filches Kane's watch from his waistband, bites the bartender's arm, and drops the watch into Kane's hand before running off. Hours pass, and the sun sets. In the bar, Kane and Anna dance slowly.
Don't you ever take any risk?
I try not to.
Just getting up in the morning, that's a risk.
What do you do?
He nuzzles the nape of her neck.
I'm an unemployed spy.
Be serious, please.
Okay. Your old man, short-handed.
You've been talking to Doc.
I heard about the Arabian kid.
And you're willing to replace him?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Money.
That's the only reason?
That's enough.
What about the jinx?
What about it?
How much do you know about diesel engines?
As much as I know about women.
How much is that?
Ask me.
Can you handle a winch?
Honey, I was delivered by one.
The next day, the Anna, the professor's luxurious cabin cruiser, motors out of harbor toward the open sea. Kane stands at the helm with Anna at his side. While behind them, the professor watches Anna light a cigarette. put it in Kane's mouth, then take another for herself. Thrust forward by its powerful engine, the boat slices through the water. Taking the helm from Kane, the professor gives Anna a reproachful look. When he takes her cigarette and smokes it, she pouts. The boat stops, and the anchor is dropped. Soon, on deck, Anna helps the professor into his diving gear.
Ms. Kane, this tank here is for the fish. That one's for the mineral specimens. Give me him.
Kane lifts one of the glass tanks and swings it over the side.
Easy now. Yes, got it. Let it go.
The tank is lowered into the water.
You know, I used to do a little diving myself.
The professor looks at Kane askance, as does Anna.
Mr. Kane, you won't have to on this job.
I saw a photograph in the cabin of a shark. Is that the same one that chewed up the Arabian kid?
Same species.
You know, he must have been out of his skull to be snooping around down there.
What gives you the idea he was snooping?
Just a term, Professor?
Well, he just fell overboard in shark country. At least he died in the world's greatest laboratory.
Well, that's something to look forward to. You really think you're going to solve the world's hunger problem, Professor?
You really mean you give a damn?
No, but I like to eat.
Kane throws a rope ladder over the side.
Jane, tapping the ocean's mineral reserves will solve your eating problem. Without fish, the world would starve to death.
Any sharks down there?
Naturally.
Well, aren't you going to carry a gun or something?
Sharks are cowards, Mr. Kane, haven't you heard? If I carry a gun, I'm just looking for trouble. The only thing that makes a shark dangerous is the smell of blood. When he tastes it, he goes berserk. If I happen to hit one shark, all his friends will come like a shot.
Just out of curiosity, Professor, what's your favorite food?
I hate fish. Can't stand the taste of it.
A large shark swims lazily as the professor dives toward the bottom, trailing a stream of bubbles from his regulator.
Did you ever sail across the sea to Saudi Arabia?
Yes.
How about north, up to Cairo?
Sometimes.
Ignoring the shark swimming nearby, the professor swims along the bottom. When he arrives at the same wreck Mohammed explored, he swims toward the stern entrance to the hold. Entering the dark labyrinth below the deck, he switches on a flashlight. Meanwhile, aboard the Anna...
What's the name of this reef?
Hagara.
How far from Suba?
Too far to swim.
Inside the wreck, the professor arrives at the welding gear and puts on goggles that hang on the equipment. On the surface, Anna steps toward Kane, who's inside the boat's cabin. Below, the professor cuts a steel bulkhead with the welding gear, while above, Anna puts a cigarette between Kane's lips.
I'm afraid I'll never break that habit. It started years ago.
Kane starts the engine. Underwater, the professor hears this and looks up. Then returns to his work. But when Kane keeps revving the engine, the professor stops work and hurriedly switches the welding goggles for his regular face mask. Anna looks at Kane quizzically.
I'm just testing the engines.
In his rush to leave the wreck, the professor wriggles out of a small hole in the steel hull, cutting his shoulder on a jagged edge. As the shark patrols nearby, the professor's blood spurts into the sea. Trying to staunch the flow of blood with one hand, the professor swims close to the bottom. Horrified, the professor sees that the shark has caught the scent of his blood. As it turns toward him, he panics and rushes toward the surface, trailing a cloud of blood. When the shark homes in on him, the professor throws his scuba tank at the beast. It swims off, and the professor escapes.
Help! Help! Help!
He struggles up the ladder.
Dan!
As the shark lurks nearby, Kane and Anna drag him aboard.
Help him. I'll get the first aid kit. Here.
Kane daubs at the professor's wound with cotton dressing. When Anna passes Kane a bottle of brandy, he puts it to the professor's lips. Kane touches the professor's wound, withdraws his hand in surprise, then walks away. His hand is covered with thick oil. Later, at the hotel, Anna drinks brandy and smokes a cigarette. Anna steps toward the professor's bedroom. Peering in at his inert form, she sees that he's fast asleep. And closes the door. The next day, sunlight glitters on waves under a clear sky. Wearing bathing suits, Anna and Kane lie together on the shore under a beach umbrella, sweating in the intense heat. Anna rolls over toward Kane and nuzzles his cheek.
Don't worry about Dan. He's not my father.
Your lover?
No. But he's been like a father to me. He taught me everything. Took me all over the world. And because in all those years, he was the only man I knew, I fell in love with him. But never as a lover.
You mean he never laid a hand on you?
Never.
Alibaba and the 40 Thieves was a hell of a fairy tale, too. Well, then he's a fool. And you're a teaser.
She slaps his face, then kisses him hard, and the two seize each other in a passionate embrace. Waves wash up around them. Later, the cigar-smoking boy runs into the hotel. As Kane walks in the market, Latala escorts the boy out.
So you're making noise again, huh? Don't you know the professor is still sick upstairs? And you don't have to interrupt my siesta. Come on.
He kicks the boys behind.
Go in it! Go in it!
And the buleska!
Go in it!
Doc is at an upstairs window.
I look for Kane.
He's out looking for you.
Doc is in the professor's room.
Who is that?
A hat plant looking for your new deckhand.
Probably wants to sell him something stolen. How is he today, Doc?
It's nothing, just a scratch.
Stick to your fish, Professor. Let me make my own diagnosis,
huh? Doc, get away from me. Asphyxiate me.
I made a house call. I demand my fee.
Yeah.
He hands Doc a bottle.
Oh, Doc, that's pure alcohol.
You can dive any time you feel like it. And as far as I'm concerned, you can stay down there.
Meanwhile, the boy runs through town looking for Kane. The boy peers around, but can't find him. Later, Kane walks by the sea. Looking up, he spots the boy walking nearby.
Hey, Ruth!
The two run toward each other atop the harbor seawall. When they meet, Kane sees that the boy's eyes are wet with tears.
You'll come back?
I told you I would. Listen, you got a friend with a boat I can use tonight?
I go with you?
I couldn't go without you.
I have boats right
back now. At the hotel.
What happened up there the other day? I heard the engine start.
He planned to take the boat.
Would you have used that gun to stop him?
I had it in my hand.
Yes, but would you have used it?
You know I would.
Would you?
Oh, please, you don't have to worry about him.
He's younger than I am.
He has no feelings. He's strange. He's an enigma.
Stop it. He's nothing but a gun runner.
How do you know?
Think of Barack.
Any proof?
Barack's getting the proof.
Uh-huh. No wonder I don't trust him.
No, we don't have to trust him anymore. His wound is just about healed up. I think maybe we should get rid of Kane.
Anna considers this.
No. If anything goes wrong down below, we might need him.
Yes, we might.
And when we finish with him, expendable.
Later, Kane and the boy approach the Anna in a tiny sailboat.
Turn the other way. What are you always looking at me for?
Obediently, the boy shifts the sail. Kane climbs aboard the Anna, then ties the sailboat to the stern railing. Kane checks down one side of the boat, looking for an unlocked window. Finding none, He thumps a window in frustration, and it opens. He tries to squeeze into the cabin, but his body won't fit. So he waves the boy over, then stuffs him in. The boy passes him a scuba tank, then a regulator, and swim fins. Later, the two set sail for the open sea in the sailboat. The boy drops the sail, then watches as Kane puts on the diving equipment.
Now, Rudge, you stay here till I get back. Don't get any bright ideas of your own while I'm down there.
As Kane goes overboard, a shark cruises in the water nearby. Close to the bottom, Kane probes the reef with a flashlight. The boy waits patiently, while below, the shark is on the prowl. Kane is engulfed in a shoal of tiny fish, attracted to his flashlight beam. Clear of the fish, Kane continues his search. The wreck looms out of the darkness. Inspecting it, Kane comes upon a nameplate, Victoria. Above, the boy is restless.
Kane!
He dives in. Below, Kane spots the shark nearby and heads for the surface. Kane clambers aboard the sailboat.
Oh, all right, run, let's get out of here.
Kane notices he's alone.
Rudge! Hey, Rudge!
Kane dives overboard and swims toward the boy. The shark swims toward them. Kane helps the boy back into the boat, then climbs in after him. Kane tousles the boy's hair.
Get the sail up.
The boy obeys. Back in town, Kane talks with Doc at a bar.
All I want to know about is what the Victoria was carrying.
Let's see, what the Victoria was carrying.
That's it.
Just give me a minute. Plasma. Blood plasma for the 1st Infantry Division.
Plasma.
There's 1,000 years of medical knowledge in these hands, and a hell of a lot of good it did me. You save one guy, you lose 1,000.
Look, I think we're talking about the wrong ship. You see, I'm talking about the Victoria.
Who the hell is talking about the Victoria?
I'm talking about
American supply.
I'm talking about the Victoria.
Well, what do you want to know?
I want to know.
What?
I want to know what the Victoria.
If you give me a minute, I'll tell you. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It was carrying the Victoria.
It was carrying what?
Munition.
No!
You know, I keep saying no. It was carrying munitions. Explosives.
No.
No. Of course. No. Now, wait a minute. I just carried something else. I remember now. I know what it was carrying.
I think you got it now. You got it now, haven't you?
Horses.
I want to know what the Victoria was carrying.
Oh.
Later, the professor lies awake in bed. Turning over, he sees Kane standing in the doorway staring at him.
You talk in your sleep.
Something happened to my boat?
No.
Anna awakens in the adjoining room.
Nothing happened to your boat.
And what the...
Hey.
And what the...
Hey, you got a light bulb in your room, huh?
Picking up a lamp, Kane discards its shade.
I don't have a bulb in my room.
What happened?
Tomorrow I'm going to raid a light in my room.
Can you take that damn bulb and go back to your room? Sleep off that drunk.
I'm not drunk.
And what the hell are you talking about?
I'm talking about fish protein.
Fish protein?
I want to board the Victoria tonight.
The professor and Anna exchange nervous glances.
Where did you get the diving equipment?
You know, when you cut your back on coral, Professor, it doesn't leave oil on your back.
Kane.
Where did you get the
Where
diving equipment?
Where the hell
equipment?
Do you think I got?
Get out of here, Kane!
I hope you put all that equipment back.
Everything will be in its proper place when he gives me half of that fish protein.
Kane, get out of here, you're fired.
Oh. You can't fire a partner.
Partners in what?
Partners in what's aboard the Victoria?
There's nothing on that old wreck except some munitions. You're welcome to all of it.
I don't want all of it. I just want half of it. Hell, we're partners. We're going to share everything. We're going to do everything together. We're going to fish together. We're going to dive together. We're going to fix that torch together.
He puts his arm around Anna.
We're going to do everything together.
The professor punches Kane in the face. Anna attacks Kane, but he knocks her out, then punches the professor. Kane throws him into the adjoining room, and the two trade blows. The professor tries to shove Kane out of a window, but he's too strong. Kane sends the professor flying across the room, then slugs him with powerful body shots. When the professor collapses, unconscious, Kane reaches for a water jug and pours it on the professor, reviving him. Kane steps toward Anna and repeats the process.
We're going to be one big happy family. Happy father, happy daughter, and happy son of a bitch.
Kane leaves. Struggling to his feet, the professor steps to a window where he leans outside and watches as Kane walks jauntily away from the hotel.
What are you going to do?
Discourage him.
He closes the window. Later, as Latala receives a massage.
I heard a battle upstairs, Professor.
Who won?
Atala, you are a big, fat blob of blubber.
That's right, Professor.
A big, fat, stinking whale.
Right.
But around every whale. His friends.
How many of my friends can you afford?
How many will it take?
To kill a cripple.
Later, Kane finds the boy sleeping on a rooftop and kicks his behind. Seeing that it's Kane, the boy relaxes and smiles.
Nice place you got here.
The sleepy boy lies down on the rooftop.
Hey, run. You ever sleep in a hotel?
Me in hotel?
Come on.
The two climb off the roof onto a public staircase. They start down the stairs together, but a man blocks their path. When they turn to go back up the stairs, another man stands in their way. Kane kicks one of the men off the staircase, then throws the other off after him. But a third man surprises Kane and knocks him down. Recovering, Kane slams his opponent against a wall. The two others re-enter the fray, and Kane has his hands full fighting them off. Seeing that Kane is outmatching them, one of the men grabs the boy by the hair.
Zagando! Arrabauso! Yara!
When the man shoves him, the boy tumbles down the steps, unconscious. Kane hurls the boy's attacker off the staircase, then jumps down after him. Attacking the man again, Kane sends him flying. The man comes at Kane with a broken bottle. When the man lunges forward, Kane struggles to overpower him, then disarms him. But the man keeps fighting, and the two brawl, trading punches. When the man traps Kane in a chokehold with a piece of wood, the American struggles desperately to free himself. Reversing the hold, Kane flips the man to the ground, then kicks him savagely. Soon after, Kane carries the boy's unconscious body toward the hotel. Kicking open the front door, Kane storms past the astonished patrons. He lays the boy on the bar as Latala approaches.
The boy looks dead.
He's too tough to die. Get the doctor.
Not me.
I said get him!
He's upstairs having his weekly DTs.
Upstairs, Doc thrashes around in his filthy room like a crazed maniac, smashing everything he touches. Breaks into Doc's room. When Kane steps toward him, Doc threatens him with a chair, then collapses. Kane picks Doc off the floor, then helps him walk toward the door. Doc hobbles downstairs with one arm over Kane's shoulders. The innkeeper hurries toward Kane.
Give me some whiskey. I'll only have it out.
Well, get it.
Knocking a chicken off a table, Kane helps Doc to sit down. Kane pours a glass of whiskey down Doc's throat.
How can you have a boy if you keep pouring that into him?
I don't know anything about drunks, do you, fatso? Gives me worth a damn if I'm getting drunk.
That a boy, Doc. Drink it up. Come on. Come on, baby.
Later, ceiling fans spin slowly, and cigarette smoke rises in the stifling heat. As Doc works on the boy, his hands tremble, and he reaches for the bottle. His nerves calmed, he turns his attention to the boy. As Doc works, Yosef and Kane watch tensely. The professor and Anna watch apprehensively. Latala looks on, puffing on a cigar. Doc sews up a wound in the boy's head. Doc checks the boy's heartbeat with a stethoscope.
Kane?
Kane steps to Doc's side and looks down at the boy.
Thanks, Doc.
Kane confronts the professor.
That boy dies, you've caught your last fish.
Kane walks out of the bar. Doc and Latala carry the boy upstairs. The professor downs a shot as Anna climbs the stairs. Later, waves break over a rocky shoreline. Kane sits, staring out to sea. Anna puts a lit cigarette between Kane's lips. He accepts it, but doesn't acknowledge her.
I didn't know you had a friend in this town. What is the boy's name?
I never asked.
Later, in town, Police Inspector Barak sees Kane, Anna, and the professor walking toward him.
Professor, see you back at the dock.
Kane and Anna leave.
What's on your mind, Inspector?
Come and sit down. Do you think you'll catch any unusual specimens today?
Still interested in marine science, eh?
Particularly your science. I hope you know men as well as you know fish.
What are you driving at?
You must understand that in my work, the warning to citizens of danger to their lives or possessions is as important as the apprehension of criminals.
Yeah, of course.
This man, Kane, has a police record.
Uh-huh.
He certainly looks the type. He very much is the type. In 1 hour, he will be deported from Suabar.
The professor is alarmed.
Inspector.
What's the matter, Professor? Don't tell me his departure means anything to you.
Yes, it certainly does.
Barak accepts a drink.
Oh, thank you. In what way?
Inspector, you know how important my work is to me. I need this fellow.
Replace him?
No, I've tried to find local assistance. You know that. I'm right now, I'm on the verge of completing my work here. All I ask is 24 hours of this man's help, and then you can kick him right the hell out of the country. How about it?
All right, Professor. It's your responsibility for 24 hours.
Thank you.
Back at the hotel, Doc smiles at the boy.
Everything coming along all right?
Fine.
My dear young friend, it is customary for a patient to give a doctor a fee for his services rendered. You know what I mean by fee? Well, I do something for you. You do something for me.
You do something for me, I do something for you.
Yeah, that's right. Now, naturally, I'm not going to ask you for anything outlandish, but for something that I think you can afford.
How much do you want?
All I want is a nice big bottle of arak.
No.
What do you mean, no? That was a very delicate operation. I demand payment.
I demand a Havana cigar.
You demand a what?
A nice big Havana cigar.
Oh, come now, come now. You're too young to smoke.
You're too old to drink.
Meanwhile, Leanna motors out to sea. With the professor at the helm and Anna on the bridge, Kane prepares to drop the anchor. Boat stop. The two men plunge into the water wearing diving gear. The men swim toward the bottom. A shark lurks nearby. The men swim over the reef toward the wreck. The professor swims toward the hole in the hull where he cut himself. Professor, enter the wreck. making their way carefully through a jumble of cargo, the two arrive at the bulkhead the professor worked on earlier. The professor continues cutting the bulkhead. The two men open the hole in the bulkhead, revealing a padlocked metal strongbox inside. The professor goes to work on the strongbox lock. Unlocked, the lid swings open, revealing rows of gold bars. Both men touch the gold excitedly, then begin loading it into a wire basket. With only a few bars in the basket, the men strain to move it out of the bulkhead hole. Little by little, they drag the basket through the wreck toward the cargo hatch. Soon, the two haul the basket along the bottom. Arriving at a heavy chain attached to a winch cable aboard the Anna, the divers don't notice sharks prowling nearby. With a jerk on the winch cable, the basket heads toward the surface. Soon, Kane and the professor return to the wreck for another load of gold. With a fresh load in the basket, the men struggle to move it toward the winch cable, where they hook it up for its journey to the Anna. The basket empty, the divers swim back to the cache of bars. The last of the gold bars are lugged along the bottom. The sharks swim in for a closer look at the divers. The sharks stay close by as the divers send up the last load. Attracted by chunks of dead fish floating down from the surface, the sharks become excited. More pieces of fish float by the divers, and the men get nervous as the sharks close in. Divers are surrounded by sharks. Panicking, the professor swims away from Kane, but a shark homes in on him relentlessly. The shark attacks the professor, but he plunges his knife into it. Locked in a death battle, the professor and the shark twist and turn until the shark swims off with the professor's knife in its jaws. Another shark attacks the professor. Its massive jaws seize his torso, filling the water with clouds of blood. Dumping his scuba tank, Kane swims frantically to the surface. Kane clambers out of the water on the rope ladder. Chunks of bloody fish litter the bow.
You rotten bitch!
He knocks Anna to the deck.
You want it all, huh?
Anna lies unconscious. Grabbing a piece of fish, Kane throws it toward a nearby shark. Kane hefts one of the bars in his hand.
How do you like the feel of my gold, Kane?
It's Barak. He trains a gun on the American.
Yours? My gold. Mine because I was the first to know of the Victoria. Mine because I sweated it out on this stinking dung heap. Mine because I make it mine.
You mean you had Doc tell Malaire and I about the whole thing, huh? You used us all.
I used you all, Mr. Kane. You provided a way to finally get the gold up.
Kane nods at Anna.
She tell you today was payday?
She wasn't the one. I found it out just today when Malaire asked me for 24 hours.
You're a smart cop.
You're so kind, Mr. Kane. Thank you. Oh, by the way, I have a little job for you to do, Mr. Kane.
He motions toward the stern with his gun.
Anything to oblige.
To the engine room, Mr. Kane.
The two step below.
Get in there. Open the valve.
When Kane turns a valve, seawater gushes into the engine room.
In a little while now, the boat will fill with water and sink to the bottom. And on her will be two unfriendly witnesses.
Anything else you want me to do?
Yes, Mr. Kane. As a matter of fact, you can help me load the gold on my boat. My stinking little police boat.
The two return to the bow, where Kane crouches to pick up gold bars from the basket, sitting beside the dangling winch chains. Grabbing the winch chains, Kane whips them at the rock, then throws him overboard. A shark attacks Barak. Bending over Anna, Kane tries to revive her.
Oh.
Come on. You all right? Look, I'm sorry I hit you. I thought you threw the fish.
The professor. Where?
He's dead. So's Barack. Look, let's get that gold and get out of here. Come on. We're both going to be rich, lady.
Kane steps toward the gold bars in the basket.
Don't touch that gold.
She holds a gun in her hand.
Kane, I mean it.
Oh, hell.
Get on the police launch.
What do you think you're going to do with that gun?
You know what I'm going to do. I'll blow your head off if I have to, Kane.
Lady, I really believe you would.
Yes. Come on, Kane. On the launch. Move, Kane.
Are you sure this is the way you want it, Anna?
Quite sure.
That's what I thought you'd say.
He backs toward the police lodge. Meanwhile, water pours into the engine room through the valve.
That's better. Now, throw me the key.
He tosses her the launch keys, and she tosses them overboard.
You've always liked my brand.
She throws him a pack of cigarettes.
Here, you'll need matches.
Kane stoops to pick up the matchbook.
Why didn't you shoot me?
I like you.
Prove it.
But I don't trust you.
We'd make good partners.
And you will go with all the gold tomorrow. Mm-mm.
I'm not that greedy.
You were born greedy. And me too. We're a couple of bastards, Kane. Only I am the rich one.
You think that gold's going to take you right to the top, huh?
You're damn right.
Well, don't spend it all in one place. Your luck might run out.
Luck is what I've never had. But the professor's death changed that for me. And now I have my first chance, my only chance, in all those empty years I gave him. A chance that a woman like me deserves to have. Good luck, Kane.
She unties the launch and throws the rope at him, hitting him in the face. Then she starts the Anna's engine.
Goodbye, Anna.
From the launch, Kane watches the Anna, still taking water, move off into the sunset. The end. This described version of Shark was created by Audio Vision Canada.